This is Mark Strassman, producer and host of Utopia Media's California Politics Today. I'd like to welcome our listeners and the participants to a special episode of California Politics Today. Our theme today is SB 682, a bill to regulate the use of RFID technology in California state-sanctioned identification documents. If this were the Oxford Political Union, the question before the House would be, should SB 682 be passed into law in essentially its current form? Since it's not, we're going to take a more flexible approach to our discussion. Participating in this virtual debate and general discussion of the merits of SB 682 will be California State Senator Joe Simidian, principal author of SB 682 and elected representative in the California State Senate of the citizens of Palo Alto and environs, and Roxanne Gould, communications director of the American Electronics Association, whose slogan is Advancing the Business of Technology, and spokesperson for the High Tech Trust Coalition, whose reason d'etre is to see to it that SB 682 doesn't pass the legislature, at least in its present form, as Ms. Gould told me in an earlier conversation. Welcome both of you, Senator Simidian and Roxanne Gould, to Utopia Media's California Politics Today.
Nice to be with you.
It's a pleasure to moderate a discussion where all of the participants know what a Faraday cage is and are able to factor this knowledge into a discussion of what is arguably the most powerful, important, and influential of the United States should now do in terms of employing cutting-edge digital technology in the identification of its residents. Since differing incongruent and or mistaken perceptions often lie behind disagreements, as well as substantive differences of opinion, I'd like to start our discussion by asking each of you to briefly state his or her idea of what exactly SB 682, if passed by the legislature in its present form and signed by Governor Schwarzenegger into law, would do. Senator Simidian?
Well, I think it's pretty straightforward. The bill does three things. It makes it unlawful for people to skim, that is to read surreptitiously your personal information from a government identity document with RFID technology. The second thing it does is it says that if government identity documents at the state or local level are going to use RFID technology, we got to incorporate some basic privacy protections, things like a unique personal identifier, encryption, mutual authentication, the kind of things that would just make sure that when the technology is used that it's a little more secure than it is today. And third and finally, it says, you know, let's take a time out. It imposes a three-year moratorium on the use of this kind of technology, RFID technology, in what we call mass distribution documents, both to see what happens with the security measures we could put into place, but also to have the kind of thoughtful, wide-ranging policy discussion we ought to have at the state level and haven't had yet about the privacy implications of RFID in government identity documents. There's a core question here that I think should be asked and answered that really is the focus of the bill. Should state and local governments be in the position of compelling their citizenry to carry a government identity document that broadcasts their personal information? I think the answer to that question is no, and that's what the bill is designed to address.
Okay, it's my hope that this discussion will kickstart just such a statewide discussion, and we'll look back and say this is where we started talking about it.
Good.
Ms. Gould, what do you say SB 682 will do?
Well, I guess initially what the senator described is, you know, prohibiting the use or banning the use in certain areas, such as driver's licenses. It's not just a three-year moratorium, because as soon as you say you can't use it in a driver's license or other areas, all discussion stops. We're not going to continue with the plan to go forward on investigating the levels of security and a secure smart card. It's just going to stop the dialogue until the 3 years are up to see if it, in fact, does really go away. But then the second half of it, as the senator described, basic levels of security would be required in the secure smart cards. The levels of security that are in the bill today, you know, first of all, we believe it dangerously puts into statute technology. That technology evolves and changes and improves, and as soon as you mandate a certain type of technology, you're precluded from using something that might be better. But what the level of security that is required in all other uses that are not banned is similar to that's required to get into a nuclear power plant or the Pentagon, and we think that that's not necessarily the appropriate level of security for all other uses, and it also does impact the cost. It raises it from about 50 cents to a dollar to instead between $8 and $10.
Okay, we're going to give both of you a chance later to ask one or more questions of each other, so take notes as to what you think the most important things you want to ask the other person is. Let me ask each of you now, starting with Ms. Gould, to explain to our listeners how big a threat you believe the use, misuse, or abuse of RFID technologies as an embedded component of state driver's licenses and other state-sanctioned identity documents might be, would be, is likely to be. Ms. Gould?
Well, I mean, there's a track record of, you know, how secure this technology actually is. It's, you know, it can be used to prevent identity theft and fraud. It can be used to prevent someone from actually, you know, tracking you with this technology in your card. I mean, the reality is that there are over 200 million secure smart card holders today in the world. I mean, this technology is not untested. In fact, it's received rigorous research and testing for more than a decade. It isn't something that just has recently surfaced and we do, you know, that we have not done tests. And in fact, we know of no instance when this a particular card or this technology has been breached.
Okay, Senator Simidian, how big a threat to civil liberties do you think it will be if your bill doesn't pass?
Well, I think there are two different issues. One is the civil liberties issue. The other is the potential for bad people to misuse the technology and do bad things with it.
Address both of those.
On the civil liberties issue, I mean, look, the U.S. Department of State was getting ready to move forward with RFID technology and passports and backed away when some pretty moderate groups, business travel groups, said, wait a minute, we don't want to be walking down the street of Bonn, Germany. We don't want to be walking down the street of Riyadh and suddenly realize that we're, without our knowledge, we're broadcasting our nationality as Americans in a foreign capital. The State Department has since backed away from its original plan and now says they're going to put a metal shield into each passport. That's the Faraday cage that you mentioned earlier in the conversation. I don't think the federal government would be saying we need a metal cage around every U.S. passport in order to protect privacy if they didn't think the privacy concerns were real. So I think we've got a pretty good indication that the privacy concerns are legitimate. That is borne out in a recent report from the General Accounting Office in response to members of Congress. Again, you know, the GAO is not exactly an alarmist organization. They've articulated the concerns about profiling, about tracking, about privacy. All of these threats are real. And, you know, what I've said, again, is, you know, I very much regret the fact that the opposition insists on using the word ban. There is no ban. The opposition wishes there were a ban so they could oppose a ban. There's a 3-year moratorium before we put this in millions of driver's licenses so we can make sure we know what the hell we're doing before we go down that path. You let the genie out of the bottle and then discover, oops, we've got a whole system built on a technology that's not secure or that raises privacy concerns. We're going to have a heck of a time managing that.
Okay,
fortunately, the State Department, who almost got to that point with tens of millions, if not more, Americans, stopped at the 12th hour, but we don't want to have that happen in California.
Okay, let me ask Ms. Gould why you believe that existing law and common practice are sufficient to prevent any of the problems that Senator Simidian has just listed.
Well, I mean, the example he uses with the State Department, what happened, in fact, is that they didn't completely reverse on their original plan. What they instead decided was that an additional layer of security needed to be employed. And so what has happened now is they are, in fact, you know, embracing this technology. 133 countries have accepted this standard, including the United States. So, you know, our feeling is that there has been enough testing of the technology. There are so many different levels of security that can be employed that exactly the type of fear the senator described with someone being, you know, tracked while they're in foreign land is, it can be protected by the Faraday cage, by the encryption methods that can be employed. The Department of Homeland Security, Department of Defense, the Interior, all three of them have embraced this technology.
Now, Senator Smitty, do you believe if Faraday cages were added to these to cards that there wouldn't be a need for the moratorium?
Well, I think that's a conversation we ought to have. But I think, you know, the opposition can't have this argument both ways. One minute they say, don't worry, there's no problem. The next minute they say, see, as long as we wrap it in a metal cage, then you're really safe.
Okay, Ms. Gould, are you trying to have it both ways, or are you trying to have it one way? Hello?
I'm sorry?
Senator Simidian says that the opposition is trying to have it both ways and say it's there's no danger, but it can be protected against. What do you say to that?
Well, our position is that there should be, you know, flexible levels of security, that, you know, privacy is, you know, our greatest concern as well. Your confidence in using a particular technology is the only way a technology is going to survive and evolve and grow. So, you know, we think that there are levels of sensitive information that would warrant certain levels of security to be employed.
Well, Senator Simidian, do you think that Ms. Gould's desire to have these different levels of security could be incorporated in your bill and
that's exactly what the bill has done. Is the bill has said, look, in some cases we're going to grandfather in existing technologies, or we're going to just say no additional requirements are necessary, a prison setting, for example. In some cases, we're saying, you know what, we think a unique identifier, encryption and authentication make sense, and that's the standard we'd like to go to. And in some cases, we're saying, you know what, we think the issues and the sensitivities are so great, we ought to have a real meaningful conversation for the next 3 years before we sort of plunge headlong into this effort. I'd like to ask Ms. Gould to make a commitment in this telephone call with your listeners. Okay, we've tried not once but twice to incorporate encryption and authentication language into our bill that came from the industry. No matter what we put in the bill, they continue to oppose. So I'm going to ask Ms. Gould on your show, are you or are you not prepared to give us language that has meaningful encryption protection and meaningful authentication protection and tell us that you would accept that in the bill? Because, you know, I keep trying to say yes, and they keep saying, we're just going to keep saying no to whatever you put into the bill. If they care about protection, as they say they do, and if they acknowledge that there's a legitimate need for some sort of protection, which they say they do, then let's hear from them. What is it?
What do you say, Ms. Gould?
So my concern is that we totally agree that there are levels of protection that should be utilized with certain types of information, sensitive information, but we don't agree that you should be putting into law and locking into law particular types of technology.
How about setting a level of protection and requiring a choice of technologies that could reach that level of protection?
I mean, the only thing that's ever going to happen in the future is the technology is going to get stronger. All I've said is, let's put a minimum standard in the bill, and I'm happy to make reference to something that comes along later that's stricter or that can be revisited. But what I've got is people saying, oh, yeah, we absolutely share your concern, but we don't want to give you any kind of a standard or any kind of a reference.
So why can't, Ms. Gould, why couldn't there be a standard or a reference in terms of authentication and encryption that would meet the requirements of the industry?
Well, I mean, there definitely could be best practices. There could be standards as long as it isn't locking in particular, you know, types of...
It didn't sound like you wanted to lock it in. It sounded like you wanted to set a minimum standard and then use technologies that would meet it.
Well, I mean, in concept, it sounds as if it makes sense. It's just what has happened so far in the bill is that the minimum level of standards that are now being utilized for all acceptable uses are so disproportionate to the level of sensitivity of the information potentially on those cards that it's sort of a difficult concept thinking we could come to agreement on something like that.
Well, I'm prepared to let, I guess, again, I want to ask the question, you know, we're going to be back in session in a week and a half. Is AEA prepared to deliver something to my office? We've been talking with them for 5 months now. Is AEA prepared to deliver something to my office and say this is acceptable to us as a criteria for encryption and authentication and unique identifiers that is consistent with the level of protection AEA thinks is reasonable? It isn't good enough in this process to continue to say no. You can't tell the public you believe in their security and privacy but then say no to every suggestion that comes along if you're not prepared to put a constructive alternative on the table. It seems to me that makes it appear that AEA is disingenuous, and I wouldn't make that charge, but people are going to come to that conclusion if they don't start to offer a constructive alternative. Naysaying is not a solution.
In that alternative, then, does that mean that you would agree to allow this technology to be used in situations such as driver's licenses, student IDs, that you would not be prohibiting or putting a moratorium on the use in other in any areas?
It means that that's a separate issue in the bill, and we can argue over that separate provision, but what I want to know is, what is it that you think is an acceptable standard? And I can't know whether or not I think it's an acceptable standard if you don't put anything on the table that's real.
See, our position, and we have said this, is that, you know, this technology, we believe, is to be the most secure way to save, to store sensitive information. And American Express...
I'm sorry, I'm still not getting an answer to whether AEA is or isn't willing to put something on the table, Mark, and I'm sorry for being so persistent, but...
Well, that's okay. Do you think, would it make sense, Ms. Gould, to exchange an end to the moratorium for the provision by AEA? I can't negotiate on either of your behalfs, but... Would you, Senator Smitty, be willing to consider dropping the moratorium if they provided you with standards that they would accept to support the bill?
I have already modified the bill dramatically,
right.
But what I can't do is negotiate against myself, and that's
right.
What AEA has wanted me to do from day one. Every time I think even Ms. Gould will acknowledge that the bill is far more palatable to the industry than it was 4 months ago. That being said, if the industry doesn't like the protection provisions that are there, it seems to me that if the industry really cares about privacy issues, they ought to step up to it and say, here's what we think would be acceptable. Because right now, all they do is say no, no, no. Again, I've got three discrete pieces to the bill. Is there or is there not some privacy standard that the industry is prepared to acknowledge as acceptable? Because you can't keep saying you think it's an acceptable concept, but then say, but there isn't anything we'll agree to.
Anything anything you want to say more, Ms. Gould?
Well, I mean, Mark, the bill was introduced in March. It's been amended 6 times. It's actually only had
Ms. Gould, you know the bill was introduced in February because you know that was the deadline for bill introduction dates.
I'm sorry, that was
been amended 6 times. It's been amended 6 times because we've tried to respond to the industry's concern. At every time we amend the bill, we get more opposition, not less, and I'm waiting for AEA to not meet me halfway, but at least to put something constructive on the table rather than be a naysayer. Mark, I've asked 5 times now, by my count, whether AEA is prepared to say, here's what we would accept, and I can't get a simple yes to that question.
All right, I think we're not, then the 5 more won't do it, so let me move on. Ms. Gould, could you tell us what individual and collective advantages you believe would accrue to the state and to individuals in the state if it could go forward under existing law and deploy millions of contactless smart card RFID driver's licenses?
Well, I mean, Mark, you read the headlines just as I do, and privacy is a number one concern, and we see it in a number of forms in legislation. And you know, we believe that the encryption on a chip, the encryption of a transmission, the basic access control, the Faraday cage, the different levels and types of security that can be used on this particular smart card are so far above what is used today on current government-issued identification. I mean, 200 million cardholders, no breaches have taken place today.
How do you know no breaches have taken place when, by definition, you don't know if there's been a breach? How can you prove that negative?
But, Senator, 200 million cards, you got to believe if there were any breaches, we'd have to hear about at least one or two. We've heard of nothing, and I don't believe that American Express and Visa, who suffer huge financial loss when identity theft is committed.
These are the same people who were silent about the database breaches when their computers were hacked. They didn't say a word. The only reason they now say a word is because we passed a California law that I co-authored that requires them to do it, and it's the same AEA who opposed that sensible privacy legislation who is now opposing this sensible privacy legislation while arguing out of the other side of their mouths that they support privacy legislation.
Okay, let me ask Senator Simidian what you think the dangers would be to go ahead and issue RFID
I think there are two obvious dangers. The first is, you put this technology into people's driver's licenses, what's to stop the state government from monitoring everybody who walks in the door at an anti-war rally at UC Berkeley? What's to stop the state government or the local police from monitoring everybody who walks through the door to go to a gun show at the local county fairgrounds? You have that broadcast capability in everybody's driver's license. There's nothing that keeps somebody from putting up a reader and without your knowledge or consent accessing that information.
Okay, Ms. Gould, how worried are you about that scenario?
Well, I mean, Mark, I would like an opportunity to answer my questions completely, because I feel as if I haven't been able to get to a complete thought.
Please, go ahead.
Process. But,
sure.
I mean, the example that the Senator is using, I mean, Senator, with all due respect, I think those are more scare tactics, because it's true, government can issue a driver's license that is a smart card, chip-enabled card, but there are protections that you can use as a consumer to make sure absolutely no one can read it. I mean, you could put aluminum foil around it and no one could read it. So if you don't trust the Faraday cage that the government put on that particular driver's license or passport, you can go beyond that to protect yourself.
I see. So now it's the consumer's responsibility to protect themselves against the governmental identity document that they're compelled to require.
Okay, let's let Ms. Gould complete her thought.
To get back to the security aspects that I'd mentioned that can be employed and that are being employed, or at least embraced by 133 countries, there's an encryption in the chip, there's an encryption in the transmission to the reader, there is the requirement for someone to actually do something like a biometric identifier or a PIN, and then there's the Faraday cage. I mean, those levels of security are so extreme and so far surpassing the levels of security in today's government-issued documents. 200 million people are holding this. We've not heard of a single problem. All I can deal is with the reality that I hear about. And, I mean, honestly, we just believe this technology is the safest way to store sensitive data. And we've got at least 10 years of experience and research to back up that thought process.
Okay, let me ask both of you to comment on this question. Recently passed federal Real ID Act requires that state-issued and federally acceptable driver's licenses must contain the data that they have in them in, quote, common machine-readable, end quote, form. This might mean barcodes. It might mean RFID. Could each of you comment on what you think the implications for California's issuance of driver's licenses with RFID or not has within the context of the Real ID Act that's been passed by the federal government? Ms. Gould?
Well, I mean, our concern is that, you know, the Real ID Act is mandating that you have something that can be read, you know, universally as an ID document. And if California is to go forward and not allowing this technology to be used in a driver's license, and the United States government goes forward in the direction it appears that they are in putting it in a passport, California citizens then, in that situation, could be required to carry two identification cards with them at all times. Every time you want to get on a plane, every time you want to go into a federal building, or you would have to have a separate ID, and that would be a burden to California citizens, we believe.
Okay, Senator Simidian?
Well, I think what the question you're raising is a good one, because what's really going on here is that the folks who manufacture RFID technology are worried that if a state like California takes an action like this, it'll cause people in Washington to think twice. And that's really what this debate is about. It's about profit over privacy. It's about a concern about market share. You know, when Ms. Gould talks about all those places where she thinks the technology is working just fine, she herself mentions all of the protections which are not currently built into government identity documents that include RFID, which is why I kept pressing to say, great, tell me what it is you are prepared to see California commit to, and I can't get an answer to that question. So to talk about California driver's licenses is really to miss the point that this is really about the larger issue of, are we going to see a nationwide system of RFID technology incorporated, which allows people to be tracked as they move about the nation? When you walk through a screening station at an airport, are you going to be walking through a reader that is going to scan your identity based on your driver's license? Is that really the sort of brave new world, Big Brother environment people want to live in? I don't think they do, and I haven't proposed a ban. I've said, before we make that kind of commitment, shouldn't we stop and have a conversation about whether or not that's what people want to live in?
Ms. Gould, do you believe that private financial gain is an important motivating factor on the part of the industry?
No, I don't believe that is motivation. Our concern is that it will put California out of sync with Homeland Security. Washington has already embraced this. The Interior Department, Department of Defense, Department of Homeland Security. It's just, you know, privacy is the issue here, and we believe this technology will actually help consumers keep their information more secure.
Okay,
them.
Yeah, moving from the merits to the politics, what is your organization? Tell us just a little bit about your organization, the High Tech Trust Coalition, and what it's doing to defeat SB 682 in its current form.
Well, I mean, it's really a group that came together out of concern for the ramifications of SB 682, and the bill passed through a good portion of the Assembly without much notice, frankly, unfortunately. I blame some of that on the fact that nearly 2,800 bills were introduced in California since January. But as soon as we were able to identify what the bill is attempting to do, and you came to the conclusion that we disagreed with the premise that this technology is somehow going to expose consumers as opposed to protect them, that's when we approached the senator to say, you know, let us show you how safe this technology actually is. Let us show you all the levels of security that can be employed. And so this group that really has come together to try to educate on the benefits of this technology.
And what are you doing anything public? Are you going to make any TV commercials, have rallies? What's your technique in trying to defeat the bill?
I don't know. Actually, I don't know what it's going to evolve into. At this point, it has been meeting with members of the legislature who are trying to also have to vote on 2,700 bills to tell them the pros and cons of the technology and the types of study that has already been conducted on it.
Okay, and Senator Simidian, who are your allies in this effort? And what are you doing to organize them and convince people that the bill ought to pass in essentially its present form?
Well, we have a surprisingly broad-based, bipartisan, non-ideological group of folks who have supported the bill. I mean, this bill came out of the state Senate in a much tougher form with bipartisan support. All Democrats on the floor of the state Senate voted for the bill. A majority of the Republicans on the floor of the state Senate voted for the bill. We had conservative, small government groups like the Free Congress Foundation and the Liberty Coalition from Washington, D.C., joining groups like the Capital Resources Institute here in the Capital area who supported the bill, at the same time that we had privacy and civil liberties groups like the ACLU and the Electronic Frontier Foundation. Interestingly, we've also had consumer groups, labor groups. The group that's a set of groups that's really quite interesting is we've had groups that represent domestic violence victims, the California Women's Commission, folks who deal with battered women, who are concerned about the safety of women if this technology is widespread without adequate security precautions. So, as I said, I we sort of have tap-danced around the central question, but I come back to it again, Mark, which is when I say to people, do you think you should be compelled or required, do you think you should be compelled or required to carry a government identity document that broadcasts your personal information without your knowledge or consent, the answer is no. And again, the bill has three pieces, a law against skimming, a requirement for reasonable security protections, and a three-year moratorium so that we can talk about where we're headed big picture. And these are folks who want to rush to judgment. It's about market share. And I can't get any kind of a response on here's what we would accept in the way of privacy protections, which makes it a little hard to work with people who say that they share your concerns about privacy but won't tell you what they think would work.
Okay, this was the point where I was going to ask each of you to ask the other person a question. Senator Simonian has already asked his question. If you've got another question you want to ask, I'd like you to do that, and then I'd like Ms. Gould to ask a question of Senator Simonian.
Well, I think, I would just ask Ms. Gould, does she acknowledge that the whole reason that we've got a Faraday cage coming into place around the passports now is because people at the federal level have acknowledged that there are legitimate privacy concerns about RFID technology in a government identity document?
Well, I mean, absolutely. I mean, it's one level of many levels of security, and we'd probably be in agreement that a passport is a document that contains information that is so sensitive that it does deserve the highest level of security.
All right, Ms. Gould, why don't you ask Senator Simonian something?
Well, I mean, as I mentioned, I mean, the bill, then I was wrong, I guess. It was introduced in February, but it has been amended multiple times and has received one real hearing that involved the opposition, and that involved two people on each side being allowed to talk for 2 minutes on what's a very complex subject and technology. And so, we believe that this technology has proven itself as being secure, and we don't believe there's really been enough debate to really fully vet it. And would you consider holding off on hearing your bill for the rest of this year and instead have a more thorough vetting of this technology and like a lengthy informational hearings where we can really get into the nuts and bolts and details of the technology?
The short answer is, I can't imagine that I would when all of the time and energy I've devoted to making sure we have those kinds of conversations has done nothing except bring on additional opposition. I mean, let's be real here. This is the American Electronics Association, who represents the biggest high-tech firms in the country and the world, who is in partnership with other high-tech folks like Oracle, who I understand has just become part of the effort, and they're suggesting that after 5 months they haven't been able to get their issues raised. I think they're doing a pretty good job. I don't agree with the way they've gone about it, nor do I agree with their representations about the bill. But the one thing I'm not worried about is that in February, March, April, May, June, July, and August, they're not going to get a chance to make their case. As Ms. Gould would be the first to admit, I've met with them on three separate occasions to let them make their case with me. The bill's been heard in a policy committee in the Senate, on the floor of the California State Senate, and a policy committee in the State Assembly. And, it's certainly a bill that keeps getting heard, and you're certainly giving us the opportunity to air these issues out. I think what we need is somebody on the other side of the issue who's prepared to try and find common ground, and I'm not getting that. And until I get it, there's not much point in saying, sure, we'll hold off for a year. Holding off for a year seems to me to be an opportunity for them to continue to organize against the bill rather than find common ground based on what I've seen to date.
Okay, how important do each of you feel the outcome of this debate and what happens in the legislature will be to the future of California, the future of the United States, and for that matter, the rest of the world? Ms. Gould?
Well, I mean, I think it's significant. It's significant because, again, we're getting back to privacy, and this technology is a technology that has been studied as a great way to protect consumers' information, and it sets a precedent. 200 million people have used it throughout the world. We believe that that's a proven case study to show that California citizens deserve this level of security. But to get back to a point that the senator had made earlier about should government compel folks to use these cards that have RFID in them, the DMV isn't considering it today, as far as I know. And so until they do, it isn't really going to be helping California citizens to put a ban on it. You're actually going to stop them from even possibly considering this as a more secure technology. So as California goes, so goes the nation, and we think we should be on the cutting edge and be the pro-technology state, not one that is actually trying to stop the use of a technology.
You want to say anything about that, Senator, before you talk about what you think the importance of this is?
I think what is unfortunate is that if the industry had an enlightened sense of self-interest, they would understand, as Ms. Gould herself said earlier, until and unless you address people's legitimate privacy concerns, we're never going to see the kind of growth in technology that I think is important for this state and this nation. I'm a Silicon Valley legislator. I was the AEA's high-tech legislator of the year just a few years ago, and I believe that privacy protection is in the interest not only of the public, but of the industry, and until they get that clear, instead of being dragged kicking and screaming to privacy protection, we're never going to see the growth of high-tech and online work that we should, and I just think it's unfortunate that they have to be dragged kicking and screaming to the privacy protection arena rather than sort of saying we need to embrace this and find a way to make it work.
Okay, looking more inward to California, how important do each of you feel that an informed, vigorous, and thorough discussion of all aspects of this issue is for the people of California?
I think it's tremendously important. That's why I think having a three-year moratorium when we could have that discussion would be a great way to do that. And I very much resist the characterization that's been made that somehow that stifles the conversation. Quite the opposite. That's why you take a three-year moratorium. You say, let's take 3 years and talk about whether or not these security measures are appropriate, talk about whether or not certain kinds of documents are an appropriate use of this particular technology. Are there other technologies like a barcode, a two-dimensional barcode, or a swipe card, or an optical scan that might work? If not, why not? If we're going to use this, why would we use it? Why wouldn't we use another technology? Can we put security? That's why you take the time out. You don't take the time out so you can say, okay, we're going to go to sleep for 3 years and then wake up. You go to work for 3 years and say, let's see where we get, rather than sort of say, you know, no rules, every man, woman, and child for themselves, which is the approach that AEA is suggesting.
Okay, Ms. Gould, how important do you think that it is that there be this kind of informed, vigorous, and thorough discussion of all these issues?
I can't tell you how important I think it is. It's amazing to me that we would rush to a ban of the use of this technology on something like a driver's license. We can call it a three-year moratorium, but the fact is it's not being considered. And so when the Interior, Department of Defense, Department of Homeland Security, 133 countries and 200 million cars are already out there embracing this technology, 4 minutes in one committee hearing is not enough to really fully vet it. We'd love to sit through a day-long hearing, as long of a hearing as we need to really get into the meat of the technology, because I don't believe that has been done yet.
Okay. Let me ask each of you, starting with Ms. Gould, to tell our listeners, those of them who would like more information about this issue from your point of view, or who would like to help you pursue your goals in this matter, how they can contact you and your organizations to express themselves or get more information.
Well, we're in Sacramento. The phone number would be 916-443-9059, and we're happy to pass on any information about the organization or the technology.
You want to give a email or a URL?
Sure. The email's probably best. Roxanne, Roxanne, _Gould, Gould, at AEANET.org.
Okay, good. Senator Simidian, what can people who want information or to work with you, what should they do?
I would encourage them to give our Sacramento office a call, and the number here is 916-651-4011. That number again is 916-651-4011. Or simply send me an email to joe.simidian. That's joe.simidian, and I know I need to spell S-I-M-I-T-I-A-N, at sen.ca.gov.
Okay. Why don't you take 2 minutes, Ms. Gould, and wrap up and tell people why they should support your point of view on this, and then there'll be 2 minutes for Senator Simidian, and then I'll thank you both for your time and input.
Sure. And, the real problem is we feel as if this is, for lack of a better word, demonizing or scaring people away from a technology that we believe is the most secure way to store sensitive information. The real problem isn't about information being read as it travels between a card and a reader or someone scanning you. There are so many protections against that it can be in a consumer's hands, let alone employed inside the card. The fundamental concerns being raised are about privacy. They're either data breaches or a totally different type of technology that's used in products and pallets. And so our concern is that this bill is going to move away from a technology that will help California citizens keep their information more private. It's going to hinder, not help, California's personal and information security.
Okay, you've got another minute and a half if you want it.
That's okay.
Okay, Senator Smith, you've got 2 minutes to wrap up.
Well, I was going to say, I thank Roxanne for yielding her remaining time to me, but I'm not sure that was her intent.
Yeah, you don't get her minute and a half.
Right.
You just get your minutes.
I think I'd put it this way. If you think that the law ought to prohibit someone from surreptitiously skimming your information, you ought to support the bill. If you think that when RFID technology is used in a government identity document, there ought to be reasonable privacy protections in terms of encryption and authentication, you ought to support the bill. If you think that the state of California shouldn't see a proliferation of tens of millions of government identity documents, driver's licenses, benefit cards with RFID until we've had a thoughtful discussion over the course of 3 years, then you ought to support the bill. If you agree with me that government should not be in a position to compel you to carry an identity card that broadcasts your personal information without your knowledge or consent, then you ought to support the bill. If you don't agree with those views, then you ought to oppose the bill. But that's what the bill does. That's the problem the bill addresses. It's one of both bad people who could use the information for bad purposes, whether that was identity theft or stalking, and it's a question of whether or not you have concerns about big government and big brother government misusing the information. I think those are legitimate concerns. I actually don't have a problem with the technology. I think it's a nifty little technology. I think there are a million and one perfect uses for it. But I think there are other cases that are more sensitive, other applications that raise legitimate concerns, and I think we ought to be addressing those concerns. That's what the bill tries to do.
Okay, I want to thank both of you, Roxanne Gould and Senator Joe Simidian, for talking to us today on California Politics Today. And I look forward to following this debate, and presumably in the future, as things get closer to some kind of crunch point, we maybe can get together again and see whether there's been any action behind the scenes and whether things still stand the way they are today, which have been pretty thoroughly elucidated, I think, thanks to both of your participation.
Thank you, Mark.
Thanks so much, Mark.
Thank you. Talk to you later. Bye.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to an in-depth and civilized discussion of what the California legislature ought to do about SB 682 on Etopia Media's California Politics Today. Thanks for listening. For more of the same, only different, you can visit the Etopia Media website at http://www.etopiamedia.net to subscribe to the Etopia Media-based Pod Media Reports podcast, go to http://www.podmedia.tv. Click on the link there to the Pod Media Reports homepage and follow the relatively easy-to-follow instructions there. Thanks again for listening. Goodbye.